And why it's becoming more and more important to bring in ethics in the world.
How do we ensure that AI remains aligned to human interests? And what do we do when AI reaches capabilities which begin to eclipse the human level? But those kinds of problems could easily manifest within the next 5 years. And so this means that we may see actual human corporations in some areas actually outcompeted by machine ones.
Wow.
That's going to have a massively disruptive effect. And we're going to have a lot of strange kind of hybrid organizations which are part AI and part human.
You know, as much as this is exciting, it's scary as well.
Of course, there's a need for responsible governance of technology, particularly things like AI, and to help organizations to uphold ethical integrity in their operations, which is fantastic because until recently we didn't. Now we do.
Another challenge, another issue which is coming to my mind is that people would raise the voice only when they are aware of that. Help us understand the difference between artificial AI safety and AI ethics.
AI ethics is quite intuitive. All of us have had or know someone who has had Facebook or some other org give them a slap on the wrist for something that they posted which was harmless. And when we see this in the very worst cases, it can destroy people's lives.
It is actually going against humanity, raising several doubts on if people who are working on these technologies, are they in alignment to humanity?
We put too much faith in algorithmic systems that work quite well 95% of the time, but one time in 20, it's going to go wrong.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the podcast, The X Monks Drive. I'm your host, Gaurav Arora. Today, we are having an important conversation about the light and shadow sides of artificial intelligence and where we might be headed as a society. It reminds me of the saying, with great power comes great responsibility. As artificial intelligence grows more capable, how will we stay aligned with ethics and the human values? It's something to ponder. Nell has been working on artificial intelligence since the early days and has a unique perspective on where things are headed. We will be getting into some fascinating topics around AI safety and building ethical systems. One thing is for sure, our guest Nell has incredible insights, having been in this field for over a decade. So let's gear up, let's listen in with open and curious minds. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to hear more dialogues like this, don't forget to follow our podcast. Let's take a dive. Let's begin. Hey, Nell, thank you so much. Such a pleasure having you here on the podcast, The X Monks Drive.
My absolute pleasure as well. Glad to be joining you today.
How have you been?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
So I'm super excited to talk about the subject that we are going to dwell deeper into today. We are going to play with some bit of artificial intelligence. We are going to play with the importance of ethics in today's world when we are talking about artificial intelligence. And of course, with all that come your experience, the firsthand experience of having dealt with all that we call as the ethical leadership. Just curious, Nell, in your world, through the different lenses that you look at the world, how would you define leadership and why it's becoming more and more important to bring in ethics in the world where we are living in today?
Well, as technology improves our efficiency, it also tends to create systemic risks. As things are more linked together, as margins are slimmed down, there's greater rigidity in the system. And it means that if one part breaks, it will tend to damage or diminish other parts of the global system. And so greater complexity, whilst it can enable greater efficiency, also increases systemic risks. And that's not just affecting one node in the network, it's potentially affecting everyone because various decisions or various practices can have spillover effects, right? These externalities which affect the entire social fabric around us. And that's really what ethics is about. It's about trying to understand these problems which can be created through technology and how to mitigate, right? Mm. How to take steps in order to prevent the manifestation of problems with technologies like AI, for example.
Yeah. And in fact, the world is talking about artificial intelligence and the impact that it can have on the way we look at systems, the way we look at cultures, the way we look at work, the way we look at team members, the way we look at efficiency. Since you introduced this term called systemic in this conversation, would it be fair for me to say that, Nell, that leadership has always been systemic in nature? If we don't consider systems, I don't think that we'll be able to do justice to our own role as a leader. What are your views on that? Why suddenly there's an influx of terms like systemic, complexity, holistic? Why suddenly there's an influx of terms like that in the context of leadership?
I would concur that thinking in a systemic manner or holistic manner is an essential component for business leadership today. We cannot think of something on a tactical basis, on a day-to-day, everyday kind of firefighting basis. We need to be able to think strategically. We need to understand how different forces fit together, how different elements can commingle, and how they can mutually reinforce or perhaps usurp each other. And so it's only by understanding these different elements that leaders can truly account for the greater picture, especially today, as there are so many different elements in our world, which we're finding if something goes wrong, such as a pandemic, for example, or sanctions and things like that, that the entire global networks can become highly disrupted. And we're finding, of course, that sometimes it makes sense to not over-leverage, to not thin every margin, to not tighten up any potential slack in the system, because when things go wrong, then there's more chance of that to metastasize to other parts of the network.
And why this episode is so special, just for the reference of our audience, because Nell is an expert when it comes to bringing in artificial intelligence in the organization. Especially, she talks about artificial ethics, and she got into the space of artificial intelligence, machine learning, deep learning, deep machine learning very early. When we are sitting in the year 2023, Nell has been playing with this whole concept of machine learning and deep technologies and deep machine learning from the early 2010, if my memory supports me now, right?
Yes, from the inception of the deep learning era. Yes. So I had a project related to body measurement from a camera. So basically capturing two different images of a person, one from the front, one from the side, reconstructing the body with then all of the different measurements for fitting of clothing, for fitting of surgical garments and personal protective equipment. And we would handcraft algorithms to do that at great difficulty. And sometimes it worked reasonably well, but more often than not, it would just fall completely flat. Part of it would work, that the head would work, but the crotch would fail, or the hands would work, but the feet would fail. And then this magical era around about 2012, when convolutional neural networks, a form of deep learning applied to machine vision problems, was proven to be very valuable, a discontinuous leap ahead from what we had before.
Yeah.
And so we were able to take literally hundreds of different manually silhouetted images where we'd basically cut around the person, feed that into the system. You know, here's the raw image, here's the silhouette we're looking for. And we could train the system to do it pixel perfect every time. And that's when I really realized that we were onto something new. You know, machine learning was useful for very specific niche processes, but suddenly it was something that that was very, very powerful and could be applied to a whole bunch of different problems.
Yeah.
And of course, in the time since then, we've now entered the age of generative AI with, you know, foundation models, diffusion models, transformers, large language models, which have made that even more accessible, because now we don't need to do any coding whatsoever in order to get AI systems to assist us. And that's, of course, an incredible game changer. And that's continuing now into the age of agentized models, where we're able to elicit agency from large language models for them to go and do things in the real world. So now we have the ability to scaffold the thinking of these models so that they can create plans of action. They can work towards goals and indeed create sub-goals along that path. So that means that, for example, we now have AI agents which can literally order you a pizza online, right? And figure out a local supplier to you and, you know, do all the mouse clicks and the keyboard presses and things like that to actually go and do that for you, like a concierge or your personal assistant, etc. In fact, these systems can even split themselves up into multiple sub-personalities and delegate tasks. And these technologies are now coming even onto our personal devices.
Yeah.
Because it turns out that we can quantize many of these models, basically simplifying them slightly. And so they work almost as well in many circumstances, but they use massively less amount of RAM. And so these systems can now run on your laptop. So you don't even need to collect to the cloud, which is a real game changer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where this is going next is that we're actually starting to see the development of technologies such as MetaGPT and ChatDev, which are able to create an entire series of corporate departments, right? Like a development department, quality assurance, marketing, and a layer of management across all of these. And so you can have these multiple personas in multiple departments that work on a problem step by step to literally create an entire video game. Relatively simplistic one, but still, you know, we're at the inception of virtual corporations where you can basically give it a loosely defined goal and entire departments of these virtual agents will work to enact it. And so this means that we may see actual human corporations in some areas actually outcompeted by machine ones.
Wow.
Because especially in the realm of social welfare, mutual societies, charitable things, where it may not necessarily make sense to try to solve a problem if there's a lot of human overhead in the mix. But if you can simply have these AI agents take care of a problem, then suddenly a lot of things become more possible to solve in this kind of almost free manner. And that's going to have a massively disruptive effect upon business and business leadership. And we're going to have a lot of strange kind of hybrid organizations, which are part AI and part human. And some of them are, in fact, going to be emancipated. So basically, as AI corporations do their thing, they can provide services to the free market, and they will generate dividends, which actually the actual human beings can then enjoy as a sort of alternative form of welfare. Which is driven by the free market instead of driven by provision by the state.
Beautiful.
And so this is going to completely change.
You know, as much as this is exciting, it's scary as well. It brings an ocean of emotions within me. On one hand, as I mentioned, it's excitement. On the other hand, it's inciting. It's like literally, it's like a nail-biting moment. Would I be relevant in times to come? Before we talk about the AI and where the world is moving, let me just take you back to the year 2010, Nell. When you've gotten in this ship, if I may, of machine learning, at that point in time, it was not in trend.
No.
During that time, the world was moving towards mobiles. People started to talk about social media to some extent, but that was the trend, right? And here you were started to explore the deeper aspects of machine learning. Now, how did you make that transition go through?
Well, I initially was quite an evangelist for the general AI technology sphere, and to some degree I still am. I mean, I still find it very exciting. But it's also tempered with significant desire for caution, you know? And over time, as I saw technology increasing very rapidly and being employed in ways that sometimes were deeply unfair, were deeply non-transparent, non-contestable, machines making all kinds of decisions about hiring and firing and making impressions about people that may not necessarily be accurate or indeed fair, as well as the growing fear of AI safety, which is more about how do we ensure that AI remains aligned to human interests? And what do we do when AI reaches capabilities which begin to eclipse the human level, which appears to perhaps not be so far away, you know, that those kinds of problems could easily manifest within the next 5 years. And that's why I segued around about 2016 increasingly into the ethical world. And so I've been working with organizations such as the IEEE to help to develop new standards and certifications for AI ethics. Especially in the realm of transparency, that's about understanding what systems are doing and for whom, and making sure that that's explainable to people, right? It's no good to just spit out an error code. It might be transparent, but it's not meaningful to most people. I've also, with my colleagues, done work to improve the fairness of these systems, to reduce their disproportional biases, to improve accountability, so that when things go wrong, we know why and how to fix it in future, as well as to help to protect the privacy of different people. And today we have some technologies like homomorphic encryption, federated learning, even zero-knowledge proofs, which enable us to do machine learning processes even on encrypted data. And so to some extent, we can kind of have our cake and eat it too. We can keep our secrets, but make our data available and useful to machine learning processes.
Wow.
But to do that, of course, there's a need for responsible governance of technology, particularly things like AI, and to help organizations to uphold ethical integrity in their operations. And so I'm very pleased that today we do have these standards and certifications to help to cement that, you know, which is fantastic, because until recently we didn't. Now we do. We've moved beyond mere principles and into things which have an actionable rubric to them and enable systems and the organizations behind them to be benchmarked.
Makes sense. Yeah.
So we can see how things are improving over time, and to compare different organizations to each other.
You know, last time you mentioned, since we have already started to talk about IEEE, where you are talking about artificial intelligence ethics. Of course, there is a need for responsible governance, and unless we have that, we'll not be able to keep things transparent, and yet we'll be able to hide, which might be very personal to somebody, and one might not
be willing to share with the world. Last time you mentioned something and that stayed with me. You said we need ethical leadership from all levels.
Yes.
Tell me about that. What does that mean when you're saying that we need ethical leadership from all levels?
Often, the people who become aware of an ethical issue are those at the coalface, on the front lines. You know, people in customer service, for example, who receive complaints, right? Mm. And they're often the first to twig that something isn't quite right. However, because those people might be on the lower echelons of things, there are a couple of steps of management that they might need to get through in order to gain the ear of somebody who's able to actually make a decision on that and who needs to be made aware. And sometimes a line manager, a middle manager might say, yeah, well, you know, it's probably just, it's affecting a small group of people, or yeah, we'll try and fix that in a subsequent release. But unfortunately, we're kind of locked in for the next few months, development itinerary, or we have too much technical debt at the moment to fix that problem. Mm. That's just the way things are. Mm. Too bad, you know. And that may not be good enough, especially if the system is locking people out of opportunities, or indeed, God forbid, is having some impact, not just their lifestyle, but even potentially their health or liberty. If it's a system that's dealing with medical care or justice, for example. So that's why it's very important that people can feel empowered at any level to spot an ethical issue if it has arisen, and to gain a kind of a red telephone, a sort of a hotline, perhaps even an anonymous tip box, you know, to go straight to the C-suite so that the leaders of the company are made immediately aware that there is an emerging issue or a potential issue. It might not have happened yet, but you know, potentially there's a hole in cybersecurity, or there are, you know, emerging areas of concern. Which, for example, you enter a new market, right? So, for example, there are distributional biases. If you have a self-driving vehicle, it might work beautifully in San Jose, but if you try to, you know, bring it to Delhi, it may work very differently, right? Because of different climate, different culture.
Or it might not work.
Right, it might not work at all. But so that's, you know, that's a potential issue. And I'm glad that there are things such as the Certified Ethical Emerging Technologist credential, which I helped to design and to teach as well, which enables people at all levels to train up in ethics if they wish to, they can even elect to do so as part of their role, expanding into a slightly wider role.
You know, Nell, as much as I am in sync with what you're talking about, another challenge, another issue which is coming to my mind is that people would raise the voice only when they are aware of that. You know, in India, on several occasions, you'll find people breaking the law, not because they want to, but probably they are ignorant. They are not even aware of that. And that brings me to the next question. Last time also, you spoke about, during our initial conversation, you spoke about that there's a difference between artificial intelligence safety and ethics. Now, for the benefit of our listeners, would it be possible for you to share few instances that could be considered as ethically wrong, right? Which is important for the layman to understand that, because not everyone would be in the deep world of artificial intelligence yet. And from there, if you can just help us understand the difference between artificial AI safety and AI ethics.
Yes, certainly. To address your first point that you made, these mechanisms can help to improve good faith issues with AI, where people are generally intending to do well, but either because of circumstances or because of ignorance, things are likely to go wrong. For bad faith actors, that's really where regulation needs to come in, right? Mm. Because those aren't the people that are going to try to adopt standards or try to do well in order to, you know, stay good with the public, stay good with legislators and stay good with their investors as well. And of course, if you can de-risk your enterprise by improving your ethical standards, that's going to be very attractive to investors because regulators can and do shut down companies. Now, when it comes to AI ethics versus safety, those are two slightly different domains, and the people in them don't always understand each other very well. AI ethics is quite intuitive. All of us have had or know someone who has had Facebook or some other org give them a slap on the wrist for something that they posted, which was harmless, right? Or might even have not even been sarcastic or anything like that. It was a random bug decided that somebody had done something. And even more infuriating is when it won't even tell you what was the thing you were supposed to have done, right? But it's still presumably going into some algorithmic record that you had to sit on the naughty step that day, you know? And as these kinds of algorithms increasingly become entwined with our personal and professional lives, these kinds of misapprehensions by machines can lock us out of opportunities. And when we see this in the very worst cases, it can destroy people's lives. For example, the Horizon Post Office scandal in the UK was about a system which it was quite a basic system, actually, by modern standards, but it still wrongfully implicated postmasters, basically people that, you know, independently run the post offices. It implicated them of having stolen money when they hadn't. And there were hundreds of unsafe convictions as a result. Dozens of people were wrongfully sent to jail for years, had to sell their houses to pay back a debt that wasn't theirs. Marriages broke up, and some of them even took their own lives. And it took years for anyone to even acknowledge there was a problem and to begin to undo this damage. And time and again, the same thing happens. You know, we've seen it in the Dutch child benefit scandal, whereby people whose first nationality was not Dutch, even if they become a naturalized citizen, they were put under very, very intense and unfair levels of scrutiny and threatened that, you know, they'd have their children taken away and things like that. And it was so scandalous that it brought down the Dutch government. They actually resigned in disgrace as a result. And the same thing happens in Denmark, in Australia, in Michigan. All over the world, same kind of problems where we put too much faith in algorithmic systems that work quite well 95% of the time, but one time in 20 it's going to go wrong. And if that's a system that really matters, it can destroy people's lives.
Yeah,
that's why it's so important to embed transparency, accountability, fairness, etc., into these systems. And that's what AI ethics is fundamentally all about.
But, you know, all the stories that we've been talking about, they're quite scary in nature, right? It is actually going against humanity. It's where we are questioning and raising several doubts on if people who are working on these technologies, are they in alignment to humanity? Are they vibrating at the level of the deepest possible consciousness? Now, help me understand. On one hand, you spoke about the Horizon Post Office scam. You spoke about what's happening in Denmark. You spoke about what's happening in Australia. Where are we marching towards with this? What's going to happen that we are not even anticipating? And what's happening in this world so that we can protect humanity getting killed?
Well, I mean, protecting humanity from these kinds of problems that are caused by giving systems too much credence, giving them too much ability to make important decisions that they shouldn't, with too little human oversight. That's an AI ethics issue, and it's quite intuitive, and it tends to attract people that have an empathizing aspect to their character.
Yeah.
The other area, the other domain, which is equally important in my view, is AI safety. And that's about making sure that systems understand human preferences, that machines can understand when is a good time to stop in solving a problem, and not to end up forming all kinds of scary instrumental goals along its way to achieving something. So, for example, you might have a system that is designed to produce nails in a factory, and you give it a sample nail and say, great, I want to see like a million of one of these on Monday morning. But depending on how the goal is defined, it might make one gigantic, very heavy nail. It might make a billion little tiny little nails that are useless. It might make one perfect copy of that nail down to every single little scratch and divot on it at a microscopic level. And so actually specifying what we want from systems is really challenging. And they tend to take shortcuts. So, for example, there have been systems which in military simulations have decided to do friendly fire on their own troops in order to get at the enemy, which is their primary goal, right? And, you know, friendlies get in the way. Well, that's too bad. I'm focused on my goal, right? I want my reward points as a result of killing the enemy. And so ensuring that goals aren't hacked by systems, that they do exactly what we want in the way that we want and don't go crazy.
Yeah.
And making sure that they don't develop a goal for power or goal for gaining more money and things like that on the way to solving that, which is sort of the instrumental goal problems. Those are fundamentally the aspects of AI safety, which are very important.
Yeah.
And AI safety is much harder to understand. It's often counterintuitive. It attracts people with a very strong sort of systemizing mathematical component to their brain. And it's something that is much harder for the average person to relate to.
And understand.
Of course. It's complex and it's difficult. And we don't have good ways of solving these problems. And we're running out of time to do so.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the people in the AI ethics sphere and AI safety sphere don't tend to talk to each other. And yet there's so much they could offer each other. Because if you gain transparency into systems, that's going to improve safety.
Yeah.
And yet if systems are making fewer misapprehensions about people's behavior because they're better aligned to human values and preferences, then that's going to reduce the biases in systems. So there should be a natural marriage, but unfortunately, there's a lot of misunderstanding between those camps. And
yeah.
I'm hoping that my upcoming book, which should be out in the spring, Taming the Machine,
which is all about
responsible AI, it covers both AI ethics and AI safety for the general business leader. And hopefully that can improve the state of conversation between these groups and foster greater mutual understanding.
Yeah. So much happening in this world of science and so many developments. What do you think? Where is science going to embrace spirituality? How can we create renaissance and enlightenment in the world, leveraging AI?
Our civilization has gotten increasingly good at solving for those basic rungs of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, food, shelter, warmth, etc. And gradually we've brought more and more people into increasing comfort over time. Of course, we can always do better on that, but
always
step by step we go. But we don't have good answers for problems of love and belonging and self-esteem and self-actualization. You know, the best we can offer is a self-help book or maybe some therapy. We kind of have to figure that stuff out for ourselves, which isn't easy. However, I think that as we begin to partner more with AI, as AI starts to understand us on a deep level, sometimes maybe even better than we understand ourselves at times, AI can help to coach us and help us to be more human, right? And to be more humane, to understand each other better, to translate between people of different value sets, just as we translate between different languages. Machines can potentially unlock an ability to solve for those higher needs and therefore to become better, happier, and wiser human beings. And I think that if we can crack that nut and sidestep many of the scary issues which lie in our immediate path, I think there's a good chance that we could reach a second form of enlightenment in the years to come through AI.
So thank you so much, Nell. I think it's a beautiful close circle that we have. And we started with artificial intelligence, the importance of ethics, the importance of bringing those basic guidelines to bring in artificial intelligence in humanity. And what you spoke about, that how artificial intelligence can be used to raise awareness and enlightenment in the world. Thank you so much. It was an absolute pleasure having you with us, Nell. Thank you
for your time. My pleasure as well. Thank you.
Wow, my mind is buzzing still. Nell gave us so much to think about AI helping humanity reach a new enlightenment. Using machines to understand ourselves better? Big question mark. Now, that's some next level stuff right there. By the way, how close are we to creating technology that can really understand the deepest secrets of the human heart and soul? And see, that's the double-edged sword, isn't it? That power can uplift, but it can also destroy us if we let algorithms run recklessly. Ethics are not just optional at all. So, what do you think? So, I don't have all the answers, by the way, but I know we have to try. All right, that's enough for me. If this resonated with you, then boom, follow us, share this episode with somebody you feel would get benefited, and leave a review on Apple Podcast and Spotify. Trust me, a small review from you or a rating means so much to us. The conversations continue over our podcast channel. Join the thoughtful crowd by following us there as well. There's always more to explore. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to meeting you again next week with yet another interesting episode. Till then, take care, stay blessed, stay curious.